Final Pop Before Christmas is here. We're hoping for some good sacker news from Santa, or could it be time to sell? Jules and Sam have ESAC envy as they look to invest. And whatever you do, don't be a Scrooge and mention Spurs. Ho, 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 happy Christmas from everyone here at the FPL Pod. If you don't celebrate Christmas, or maybe if you do, and you just love this time of year, it's happy, busy FPL deadline time of year. So much football to look ahead to. So we're back with you on a Monday, the FPL Pod team of Kelly, Sam and Jules here with our festive spirit and hopefully some FPL tips. We've got our Christmas hats on. We've got Christmas jumpers on as well because we're feeling festive. Good morning, Jules. Good morning, Sam. Firstly, Jules, that is an impressive Christmas jumper. Who is on the front of it?
Yeah, it's a face of a young Eric Cantona. Not that you could see, but anyway, I'm showing to you, saying Merry Christmas and a blue Santa hat.
I was going to say blue Santa hat. Why?
It's just a PSG one, but I turn you around because this is not Ligue 1, but the Premier League, so I can't really...
You need to get yourself a red Arsenal one, I think.
That's true.
Sam also needs a blue or a white one, or maybe you don't after the weekend, Sam. You've gone for a pink Christmas hat.
Always pink. Actually, this one's Evie's that I just keep stealing for various different shows that I've done this week, and then sporting my Spurs colours.
That is brave. That is
I was going to say, do you want to talk about Spurs? In fact, we'll come on to that very shortly. It's pretty unavoidable, isn't it? I know FPL family derby in your house yesterday, and you probably don't want to keep talking about it. But unfortunately, that's what we're here for, because game week 17 did conclude with Spurs versus Liverpool, and game week 18 starts on Thursday. So we're going to give you your first midweek deadline warning of the podcast. The deadline is 11 a.m. on Thursday. I know, I think I said it on the last show, it's that time of year when you don't have a clue what day of the week it is, what meal you're meant to be eating, what family you're meant to be seeing, what you're meant to be doing in general. You do also need to think of FPL. So Thursday is Boxing Day. So when you get up after Christmas morning, maybe you're a bit hungover, maybe you've just eaten too much turkey the day before. Whatever you do, don't forget to set your team. 11 a.m, that's ahead of Manchester City versus Everton. All of the games are across the 26th and 27th. Then we have a breather on Saturday the 28th. And just to make it even more confusing, we then got a deadline on Sunday the 29th, ahead of the final round in 2024. So plenty to think of, but right now, just focus in on the fact that we've got a Boxing Day deadline. Let's reflect quickly, though, on the game week that was. Sam has got her head in her hands because she knows what's coming. Firstly, the mini league. It wasn't actually that bad. This wasn't bad for Sam. She's just doing that because of Spurs. So Sam, you benched Rodgers. You had Hall and Robinson returning. That was a good week for the defence, wasn't it? And also, you stuck with Solanke. So you got 77 in general, but you don't seem too happy with that. I know it's really hard to be happy when your first sub has gone and got a scoreline like that.
What's really frustrating, though, Kels, is that I was so torn between those two. It was Jao Pedro.
I think everyone was, weren't they?
Yeah, it was Jao Pedro or Rodgers, Jao Pedro and Rodgers. And we had a family day out on Saturday. And so we were on the train into London. And I just was so back and forward and what I wanted to do. And in the end, I was like, I just feel like surely Brighton, West Ham love a conceding a penalty and Jao Pedro loves to take them. And in the end, I was like, right, I'm going to go with Jao Pedro because I was so torn. I was like, I'm just going to leave it. So whoever it set out. And then I'll tell you a funny story. I was, we took as part of the day out, Evie found something she wanted. I was paying for it. And I got a notification on my phone and it just said that it was a McGinn assist. And I was like, oh no, that means Aston Villa have scored. And I opened it and was like, it was obviously a Morgan Rodgers goal. And I actually lost the plot. And the guy at the till was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, Morgan Rodgers has scored and he's on my bench. He was like, ah, an FPL manager. And so we then had a conversation about FPL. And I was just like, I left the shop and Evie was like, Mum, you're very embarrassing talking about FPL to the man in the shop. And I was like, thanks, Evie. I appreciate that. But yeah, honestly, I feel really bad saying I'm really disappointed with this week because it was still a great, like I still got a green arrow. It was still some progress. But those additional 12 points that I would have got from playing Morgan Rodgers over Jao Pedro would have got me to 530k, which is where I wanted to be for Christmas. I said 500k for Christmas and I'll be happy. So I kind of feel like this was such a missed opportunity to massively gain that bit of rank back. So it's done now. Just have to make sure that I don't do it again.
I don't know if it makes you feel any better or not, Sam, the fact that I don't know if you noticed, I actually sold Morgan Rogers this week.
I did. I noticed. The first thing, do you know what? Honestly, the first thing I did was check what you two had done with Rogers. You'd sold him. Jules had benched him too. So
Sam, guess what time I sold him?
Oh, no, not like usual. It's not like 10:59 or something.
So Saturday was actually my birthday. And I felt like, as a result, I hadn't given my FPL team enough notice. What I had actually done was I'd made the early transfer that I spoke about on the pod last week. I'd sold Mbeumo. Thank goodness he blanked because I didn't feel so great about that. Bought in Enzo.
Yeah.
And a bit like you, the whole week, I was like, do I want to start Morgan Rogers or Joao Pedro or do I want to start Enzo? I'd actually made peace with the fact that I was going to bench Enzo.
Okay.
Play Morgan Rogers and Joao Pedro. And then on the Saturday morning, because I'm so used to making those last minute transfers, I thought to myself, everyone's selling Morgan Rogers. Why have I not sold Morgan Rogers? I really like the Ahmad pick. And all week I'd regretted probably not going for Ahmad over Enzo because I wanted some Manchester United cover because I'd got Chelsea cover. So at 10:59, I was giving my daughter breakfast, Kelly, and I sold him. However, it made me feel a little bit better, at least like it wasn't just staring at me on my bench. However, I got 94 points this game week. Had I sold him, I'd have been in the 100 club. So that's pretty hard to take. And my rank, I went up about 400K places and I would have broken into the top million, which I know isn't great in terms of a rank, but would have been quite a big rise because I was 3.8 million just a few weeks ago. And also, Sam.
Now, I know you're catching me. Yes, I know.
Jules, I'm 15 points behind
her now. I saw that this morning. I was like, get in.
But if I'd have not sold him, I'd have been even closer to you. So anyway, yeah, that was my game week. Jules, for you then, you benched Rogers as well, as so many people did. But again, you got returns for Hall, Robinson, and like me, and like you said you were going to on Thursday, you kept Cunha and he kind of justified your faith, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He was brilliant and so were Wolves, to be honest. Leicester are not very good. But still, they were great compared to what they'd been doing previously. We're waiting now to see what's going to happen to Cunha. And then, because I think if he's not suspended for the next game,
he's
example.
He's old, isn't he? If he's
not
suspended.
I think so, considering the form that he's on and the new manager bounce in a way and things like that. I was torn, like Sam, for Rogers between him and Evan Nilsson. I had a feeling Bournemouth would do really well at Old Trafford and I thought Evan Nilsson then could be good. And to be fair, he gave a wonderful pass on the third goal that brings him, as you know, no points, although it's a great second assist. But so I didn't feel too bad when I saw the Rogers return so well. I felt a bit gutted because those 14 points would have been great. But I was happy with the Evan Nilsson pick ahead of Rogers before the weekend. So there was nothing for me to regret. I hesitated a bit, but I really thought Bournemouth would do well at United. So then Evan Nilsson would do well too. So, but it's a shame. 76, but it's a bit like Sam. I feel like it's a good week because it's a green arrow, a small one, but it could have been so much better. For example, if, like I said last week on the show, if I brought Isak, which I wanted to do and I'm probably going to do now,
he's my differential over you two guys. He's the one that keeps kind of ticking over and helping me gain some rank over you guys.
Yeah, but it's a great pick you had. And it's a big, like it's a game changer for everybody who had him, really.
It genuinely is. Like when I look back at my last few weeks and kind of what I've done differently to everyone else, I've tried to do, we talk about it a lot on this pod, don't we, in terms of doing certain things like, you could never not captain Salah at the moment, it feels like. Well, this game week, it was like, well, even if I wanted to go differently, thankfully I didn't. You couldn't because the majority were going with it. But then it's like certain things that I was looking at that I've done differently. And it is just things like Isak. He's just been the difference for me. And every week he's returning. And I think he's kind of becoming close to essential personally. But we'll talk about that very shortly. Just a quick check in with the FPL Pod Mini League then. Charlie Shepherd is now first. 114 points this week. Moved Konza to Hull, got a front line of Solanke, Cunha and Isak. That literally was the ideal front line. He's now second in the entire world. So congratulations to Charlie. We're really rooting for you there. Max Littleproud is back up into second in our league after his 110 points this week. He did 8 Nori to Robinson, a transfer that a lot of us did. And he is now fifth overall in the world. So well done, guys, representing FPL Pod in the overall world rankings. A reminder, if you haven't yet joined us, there's still time ahead of the new year. Q7Y. C-O, the letter, 0, the number. There is no off the bench this week. It's Monday and we're with you. So we're going to provide our own little FPL pod version of off the bench with a kind of update, not only on our teams, but on what the rest of the game week did. What were the big talking points for you, Sam? Well, the biggest, in fact, I'm going to interject my own question there and say, I think the biggest talking point for me and something that's going to concern our teams is the injury to Bukayo Saka. We don't know too much about it at this point of recording Monday morning, but we're going to talk about that and potential replacements for him in a little bit more detail. So let's park that thought for a moment. Sam, aside from that, do you want to go now with Spurs, or would you like Jones to cover that?
The elephant in the room. It's the elephant in the room. Shall we get rid of
it? That's what I'm wondering. If we
room?
Just get rid of it and then we can all breathe again, move on and not be in fear.
I mean, it's such a bad defeat that the elephant will always stay in the room. But I guess we can address it if you want.
Thanks, Jules. Appreciate that. remember, it's Christmas. Remember, it's
been
nice.
We're here for you. We're here for you. Just
let
it go.
He's the Grinch. He's the Grinch podcast.
Just let it go.
Well, look, it is what it is, right? I think from an FPL perspective, let's just do it from FPL, because to be honest, then that makes me feel a lot better. Because I think from an FPL perspective, there's actually quite a lot that you can like about the Spurs performance. Not the defence, because, you know, let's just forget about them when we're playing midfielder there. Yeah. Let's just forget that they exist. And
it's
just
a great
talk
result,
about the attack.
You're right. It's a great result.
No, it's
attacking
not.
Wise, they're great.
But from the attack, I think it's, you know, there's plenty of options in FPL. So I think for the last couple of weeks, I've sat on this podcast and said, oh, I'm thinking about selling Solanke, and And then this week actually has been a good week for him, because obviously he did well in the League Cup. I was there for that game and I sat there and I was like, where's this been in FPL? But then on Sunday, again, we saw that in FPL. So that was nice. So a good return for him, returns for Kulusevski and Brennan Johnson as well. And Maddison again returning. Now, Maddison's really interesting because I think I certainly have shied away from him quite a lot in FPL because of the lack of consistency of starts that we've had from him over the last few weeks. But he's right up there in terms of performances from the midfielders, obviously not with the likes of Salah, but then nobody is. He's in a league of his own right now. But if you're looking for a mid-priced midfielder, his returns are so good. For me, the conversation that I've been having with myself over the last couple of weeks is, do I sell Solanke and invest in the midfield instead? And maybe as part of a Bukayo Saka conversation later, they might come up again. But Kulusevski and Brennan Johnson, both consistent. Brennan, even when he's benched. So that's the positives. There's a lot of negatives too. I don't think you can invest in the defence. I'm not sure why you'd want to at the minute. But then as they start to come back from injury, maybe that will change. The new year brings some nice fixtures for Spurs. So if we get the centre-backs back, if the goalkeeper eventually comes back, but he's going to be out for longer because of his fracture. I thought Jed Spence played well. There you go. There's some positives on Spurs for you.
So you're still kind of adamant that you're going to have a Spurs player in your team? Because I love that you're talking about, you don't quite know about Solanke. Or are you going to hold Solanke for now?
Yeah, I'm going to hold Solanke.
So you might even get the midfield double up.
Yeah, but that seems really weird, doesn't it, with the way that we're performing. But then with the amount of goals that we're scoring.
You are scoring goals. Like, yeah, it's totally,
you know,
right.
I think if you leave the Premier League aside, and I think you kind of have to with FPL, don't you? Because you're talking about picking the best players in FPL, not the best players in the Premier League. Because sometimes the best players in the Premier League aren't the best players in FPL, just simply because they don't necessarily return the points that their performances suggest that they should. With the Spurs attack, I mean, we are up there with one of the best attacks in the Premier League. So, I don't know. Like, I'm going to hold Solanke now. That's a couple of returns back-to-back for him. Some good returns last week. Got some nice fixtures coming up against, apart from Nottingham Forest, where the defence is solid. I think there's defences that Spurs can get at. So, yeah, I'm going to hold. And as an FPL manager, if Spurs lose, but we return points, if I leave my Spurs biases aside, that's what you want, isn't it? It doesn't really matter what the Premier League result is for us. It's all about the FPL point returns. So, yeah, Solanke's not done anything to suggest that he should be sold. If anything, he's encouraged me to keep him with the performance at the weekend.
Okay. Jules, I'm not going to ask you for your thoughts on Spurs because that would feel like I'm also trolling Sam, which
can
is
I
not
just
the
be
point.
The Grinch a little bit? I think Liverpool stopped playing a 5-1 up, and that's why Solanke scored two, and that's why Spurs scored two.
Thanks, Jules.
Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Okay, then Jules, you can talk about something else from the game week. What would you like to talk about that isn't Spurs versus Liverpool related?
You sure we're done on Spurs-Liverpool?
We're done.
You know, we're
Jules.
Done on Spurs. I mean, we can talk about Liverpool and how great Dominic Szoboszlai was like. And really, I think we should give them a little bit of credit, because the interesting thing about Diaz and Szoboszlai, and it was only Spurs, really. That's why maybe they were so good on the day. But they hadn't been returning for so long, and now suddenly they've got those incredible game performances. Szoboszlai almost as a nine, as a false nine. Diaz as just a free player, wandering around really and impacting the game. It was pretty amazing to watch from a tactical point of view, but I don't know if that's enough for people to start investing in Szoboszlai and Diaz outside of Salah and maybe Trent or somebody like that. But I thought McAllister was great. Apart from that, I guess the other big result in a way for us, for FPL, is the Chelsea draw away at Everton, because that 0-0 for a team that's been so good going forward, a bit like Spurs in Chelsea, and a lot of us having two or even three sometimes in Enzo, Nico and Palmer, or two of them, three, or even three of them, for nobody to return was disappointing, especially when they had the chances. I mean, Nico, that was bad Nico from last season, really, that we saw at Goodison Park on Sunday.
Okay. Well, can we move on now? Draw a line under it, Jules?
Yeah. I can talk about Spurs forever if you want me to.
No, I don't think we will. Okay, Sam, I'm going to let you take this conversation where you'd like to go now, because we put you through the pain of that. There's so much to talk about. I don't know if it is a case if you want to go with the doom and gloom of Manchester City, if you want to talk about Fulham, if you want to talk about Alexander Isak. I could talk about Alexander Isak all day.
You should.
Okay, well, let's talk about Newcastle, because I think there is, the last couple of weeks, the fixtures have been perfect, haven't they? And we kind of said that investing for the last 2 weeks made a lot of sense. Obviously, Lewis Hall again with another clean sheet. That was nice. I was kind of hoping I was getting another Hall out of him like we got last week.
So relieved you didn't.
Can't be too upset with him, can we, really? Because, you know, did go massive last week. But still a really nice return from him with the clean sheet. I think the interesting thing for me is, and again, maybe this is going to come up when we talk about Saka, because one of the reasons that I didn't have Isak this week was for budget reasons. It would have meant selling Bruno Fernandes, and we can talk about Man United in a minute, because I was not, I didn't expect them to lose quite as heavily as they did without scoring. Like, I thought the way that they've been scoring goals, and I suspected that they might, but that was a bit of a surprise to me. And I didn't want to sell Bruno ahead of that one. So yeah. But that was my only route to getting Isak. Now, this time around, maybe I've got a different route to getting Isak or Jackson up top. And I think I spent a lot of time last week talking about those two. So for me, yeah, it was a mad return from Isak. The fixtures are a little bit more mixed now than they have been over the last couple of weeks, but he is in really good form. And we had this at the back end of, was it two seasons ago, I think, when he was phenomenal, and it was that kind of conversation he had to choose between Callum Wilson and Isak.
Yeah, he only started 22 Premier League games that season.
But the back end of the season, he came back from injury, and it was a straight choice between whether you went for Isak or Callum Wilson. And I went Isak. There was a double game week in there as well for them, and he absolutely banged in the opening fixture of it. And it was just phenomenal for those last few weeks of the season. And I kind of feel like we're seeing that form from him again. I struggle still a little bit with the Newcastle midfield and how I would invest there, simply because of all of the other midfielders that we talk about and that we want. Like, Anthony Gordon's in the conversation, but I think I would have expected a little bit more from him than we got, given the scoreline in this one. But yeah, Isak, if you had him, well done, because he's just been in fantastic form, particularly the last couple of weeks.
Is he now, I hate saying essential, because I feel like there's so many players that we say about in FPL, but Jules, for you, is it a case of you need to try and move things around in your team to get him in? Because so many people are investing in him. You're going to lose rank if you don't have him. Are you trying to get him into your team?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should have done it for this weekend. Like I said last week on the show, on the last show, I was really tempted. I had three free transfers. I could have done it, to be fair. It would have made like moving some money and things like that, but it was not impossible. And I just thought I'll wait and I'll do it the following for this game week for 18. And I just wish, because it was Ipswich as well, even away from home, and Newcastle were on decent form. But more importantly, I think Isak himself has been on great form, but he returned now in the last four. Before that, he had a little bit of I think two games in a row without scoring. But before that, for club and country, he was on a roll,
it's
on
mad,
run, like
10
in 10 or 11 in 11, something crazy like that. So he's been on great form for the last 2 months or so. So I'm just gutted I didn't do it for last weekend, but I will do it now.
Yeah, Newcastle looking like really good kind of attack and defence to invest in at the moment. Fulham as well, another heavily owned team, Jules. One of those games that it was quite apt, really, that on UK television over here, Fulham 0, Southampton 0 kind of kick-started the day. No goals there, because all of the goals were saved for the television's late game, of course, between the Spurs and Liverpool. Sorry, Sam, to mention it again. But from a Fulham point of view, I'm not mentioning it again. From a Fulham point of view, frustration if you invested in Raul Jimenez, because I know there was a few people looking at him. Mm. But defensively, again, returns for Robinson, someone that was heavily bought in last week.
Yeah, he was very solid. They were very solid defensively. They didn't give Southampton much. And Southampton, whose new manager, Ivan Juric, was not on the bench because he was waiting for his work permit. So might be on the bench for the next game, was watching from the stands. They were always going to try to defend more than anything else. And even that, Fulham really had enough chances to win that game. And I think can be disappointed with the result in the end. But from a defensive point of view, whether you had Robinson or Leno, Castagne, Bassi, any of those defenders, you had a good weekend.
One question I wanted to ask, because it's something that I regret. I try and not make this pod completely about my team, but it's something I regret not doing. I went for Robinson. I'm actually wondering if potentially we could have gone with Castagne, because he's a little bit cheaper. Is Robinson worth the extra money, would you say?
So I had that exact dilemma this week, and in the end, because I'd waited so long to make my transfers, I had the news about the Tete injury. So I was kind of like, well, do I want to save the money? Or do I think that Robinson's worth the extra? And in the end, my decision was that I think that Robinson's worth the extra. I mean, he supplied 9 crosses and created 3 chances in this game, which were the most of any player in the game. So he is so attacking in a way that Castagne, I just don't think, has that same level of potential return. So I think if you're really, really tight for budget and you want to get a Fulham defender, then you can absolutely go for the cheaper option. But I think sometimes in FPL you have this, right, where you have a cheaper version of the same thing. So you can get the cheaper version of a Fulham defender if you want to. But I think every time you look at your team, you'll think, oh, I wish that was Robinson instead. So if you can find the budget, I still think Robinson is the better option of the two. But if you have no route to Robinson, but you want to get to Fulham, then you can absolutely go with Castagne instead.
Okay, well, you mentioned it before, Sam, Manchester United, but we haven't dived into them. Or I hate it when this happens, when a supposed smaller club beats a supposed bigger club. Well, I don't think there's any arguments that Bournemouth are a slightly smaller club than Manchester United. But I hate it when we focus too much on the big club. So we will talk about Bournemouth in just a moment. Mm. But firstly, Manchester United. Ahmad was brought in by so many managers, myself included, this week. A lot of people kept Bruno Fernandes, like yourself, Sam, for this game week. And at home at Old Trafford, I mean, I'm sure Ruben Amorim's wondering what on earth happened. I know the Manchester United fans are. But from a Manchester United FPL point of view, what did you take away from it, Sam?
Yeah, Ahmad, the most transferred in this week, and you know,
compounded, like me.
Well, compounded by, well, it, almost yeah. with that exact transfer, right? Because Morgan Rogers was the most sold midfielder this week, and he produced his biggest ever fantasy return. So we had massive swings because of that. Yeah, Manchester United, Bournemouth have been fantastic this season. Like, I don't think we should go into these games with the expectation that Bournemouth are going to lose because they have been really, really good. And they would have gone to Manchester United without much fear. I think the performance by Manchester United was the bit that surprised me the most. I mean, as a Bruno owner, I was disappointed. He was 7th for XG underachievers across the game week. So maybe we consider ourselves a little bit unlucky that we didn't get something out of him. But the Bournemouth defence have been keeping semi-regular clean sheets and getting attacking returns. Yeah. We've got Semenyo, who I know that a couple of weeks ago there were conversations about whether to keep him or not.
A lot of people sold him this game as well, I think, Sam, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, but he had 4 shots, converted one of them, gets an 8-point return. That's his 5th goal of the season. But that is his first return since game week 10. So we have had to be very patient with Semenyo. And obviously there's been a ban in there as well. But yeah, I was impressed by Bournemouth. And I think I've got Evan Nilsson in my team like Jules has. And I can't help but feel like that was one of my more rogue decisions, because whilst Bournemouth are playing well, we're just not getting any returns from Evan Nilsson. Yeah. However good he looks and however important he is in the team and however many chances he's getting, he's not returning them. Whereas the defence, like, Kels, I know you've got Kerkez. Like, investing,
I went for the wrong one, though.
I know you did, because this is the one. I think he's a good option. But I do think this is the team that you can go for the cheaper option and it's the right thing to do. Whereas at Fulham, I think you want to go for the slightly more expensive one at Bournemouth.
I keep having to remind myself that at least I'm pleased that I am invested in the Bournemouth defence, even if Kerkez was another 10.59 transfer a couple of Saturdays ago. So at least this one looks like it's going a little bit better. Jules, how are you feeling about Evan Nilsson? Because I'll be honest, obviously I wasn't watching this game because it wasn't on TV over here, but when I was seeing Bournemouth scoring 3-0, I thought, oh gosh, the guys have got Evan Nielsen. Not to get any returns is getting pretty frustrating for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think he played well. And like we mentioned earlier, he had that great ball that led to the third goal from Semenyo, from him to Ouattara, who then crossed the ball. But he's very important, I think, in a lot of things that they do. And in that game, we saw it at Old Trafford. But overall, yeah, he just doesn't have that efficiency, I think, in front of goals to get regular points returned, which is for us is disappointing and a bit frustrating, to be fair. So I think, especially if Cunha is not suspended for the next game or for now, if I can move Evan Nielsen to get to Isak, which I think is possible, then that's what I'm going to do. But you know that Evan Nielsen will score again. It's true, but there will not be that consistency. It hasn't been like that since the start of the season. It's not going to change now. So, I think the Bournemouth style and football is not just built for him. So he's part of a great collective and a lot of players can
score. They're great to watch, aren't they, Joe?
Yeah, they're great for that. Yeah. It was a bit of a, like a pun for us to, I think, for Sam and I, when we did it, to invest in him. He obviously got the three penalties just the game before we brought him in. But yeah, this is a team that is very much built collectively, not just for their striker to excel.
I want in on the Bournemouth attack, and I don't think I want in on Evan Nielsen for all the reasons we've just spoken about. And it's making me relook at Semenya. But Sam, who is the best option there?
Or Kluivert, if you want.
Do you think it's Kluivert? I'm starting to wonder. That is a big factor, isn't it? When we look at players in FPL, is he the best option? Is he the best option? But also, like, is he a viable option given the other options that we're all from other teams in midfield that we're all looking at?
Yeah, I mean, midfield's harder, right? Yeah. Because there's so many options that you want to go to. But for me, one of the key things I look at is route to points. And if they have penalties, that's a massive tick in a box for them. So as many penalty takers as I can get in my team, I do. And so Cliver kind of fits that category. He's playing in a really nice attacking Bournemouth side. They're winning plenty of penalties. He's taking and converting all of those penalties. And he's a nice cheap option as well. So I think at a point where maybe we're about to have a midfielder slot freed up, why not free up a lot of money, drop down to Cliver, and then have that money to invest in the attack? Because then we can build an attack that's a bit like Charlie's, who you mentioned in the Pod Mini League, where it's got big hitters across the board. And you can have an Isak and a Jackson and a Solanke because you've downgraded one of your midfielders. So I do like the Kluivert pick. I think if I was going to invest in the Bournemouth midfield, that's how I would go.
Okay, well, I'm very sorry if we haven't mentioned your team winning here. So sorry to Nottingham Forest fans for ending Brentford's remarkable record at home. Big return there for Aina, of course. Sorry to Aston Villa as well. And sorry, I don't know if I'm sorry to Chelsea and Everton, but if you didn't score any goals, you don't really deserve a mention on the pod. Though Everton's defence are looking very solid, and I wish I hadn't benched Mikalenko, and maybe we should be investing.
Bench him again?
I saw him after the game on Sunday. He said, why does Kelly doesn't trust me? What's the problem
with
Kelly?
We are going to have to briefly talk about this, even though I was trying to move us on. But Sam, when you've got Cole Palmer coming to town and Lucas Jackson, unfortunately, also, congratulations, Everton fans. I keep benching Mikalenko, and every week I bench him, you get a clean sheet. So you've actually thanking Sean Dyche.
You're basically an Everton fan.
Yeah, I'm basically Sean Dyche's number two. Never mind this assistant manager.
That is lovely.
He hired you? He spent some of his FPL budget on you.
And the new owners. Come in, making a difference already.
I didn't want to talk about this because we need to move on to Saka replacements. But just quickly, Jules, we're all investing in this Chelsea attack, but actually, should we be looking at the Chelsea defence?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not.
Thank you for going along with the quick nature of this podcast. What about the Everton defence then, Sam? Because all of a sudden, when we come...
bench, I think, for Everton. That seems to be like what everybody wants.
Also, someone texted me the other day saying that the favourite line on the pod last week was, I called you two a pair of losers. And I've just told you to shut up as well. I'm getting a bit rude. Sorry, guys. It's Christmas as well, so I should be being nice. The Everton defence, though, Sam, we can joke about me benching them all the like. The reason I've been holding Mikalenko is because I know that in a few game weeks, he's not just going to be a bench option. Their fixtures do get nicer and they're getting the form to back it up.
100%. Like, I think I said to you last week, like, I think you were talking about selling him, and I was like, no, hold him, because in a couple of weeks' time, everyone's going to be wanting to go there. I'm going to be looking at Mikalenko in a couple of weeks' time. maybe Ashley Young, but probably Mikhailenko. I just think that at the moment we've gone back to Sean Dyche's, I can get my team to defend and keep clean sheets. That's back-to-back clean sheets now against like two of the best attacks in the league in Arsenal and Chelsea. So I'm not sure how I feel about their fixture on Boxing Day. They're the early kickoff. No Ashley Young, he's suspended, and it's against Manchester City. So maybe you bench Mikhailenko.
I am benching him again, just to clarify.
Yeah. That's a clean sheet, but guaranteed for Everton.
So guaranteed 0-0.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Okay. Can I move on now, or is Jules going to try? Are we going to try and throw in any other teams?
No, it's okay.
Thank you for letting me move on. Let's talk about Bukayo Saka. I've promised it, I've teased it for the majority of the podcast now. This isn't good news, is it really, for us FPL managers? Because, of course, Bukayo Saka went off in the first half against Crystal Palace. And Mikel Arteta said post-match, he felt something in his hamstring. He couldn't continue. He'll have to be assessed. So I'm really worried about that one. Never mind you being worried about it, Mikel. I am worried. Jules, he's owned by 42.7% of the game. He is the fourth most owned player in the game. Myself and Sam own him. You don't own him, do you, actually? This is probably all right news for you.
No, I've got him.
No, he does.
Did you bring him in the end?
When he sold Haaland.
Yeah. Of course you did. Okay, so it's treble whammy of bad news for us on this podcast.
Absolutely. And he's blanked ever since I brought him in, Bukayo Saka, as well.
Oh, so actually maybe he's needed to sell then.
It's your fault.
It's my fault.
No, what do we do though, Jules?
It's a great question. So he left Craven Cottage on crutches.
Did you say crutches?
Yeah.
Two of them, one for each leg.
On crutches, that's what I meant. Left on crutches, which is never good news, although it doesn't mean too much. It might just mean like precaution not to put any weight on his leg. But you could see his face as soon as he went down, really early on after 20 minutes in that game. I said Craven Cottage as well. I meant obviously.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yeah,
at Palace.
He could have left Craven Cottage. Maybe he took a detour there.
Yeah, maybe. Right now on the game is a yellow flag with 75% chances of playing on the 27th against Ipswich at the Emirates. I think that's pretty optimistic.
Why did it have to be ahead of such a good fixture?
I know as well. Although to be fair, at least Arsenal played Saturday and then don't play until the 27th. So it's not like if they were boxing, at least they would have 24 hours more than the ones who play on Boxing Day. But I still think that it won't feature. They won't take any risks now. There's no point taking any risk anyway. Also because, no offense to Ipswich, but it is only Ipswich coming to Emirates. but it's true. If it'd been maybe a City or a Liverpool, they would have tried anything they could to get him ready for that. Right now, just give him some rest, give him some time. As we said, there's three games very close now. And as long as he can be back maybe for the second or the third one, that'd be good. So I would hold and bench him instead of selling. But if you want to sell, as long as you keep the money in the bank to bring him back almost as soon as when he's fit again, then that's fine as well.
It's really tough, actually, because we're waiting for news, but his price already went down overnight, Sam, which suggests that people want to get that money out of him and move him on. It's frustrating because obviously you keep the money. So obviously if you bought him for 10.2, for example, and he's now 10.6, then you get to sell him for 10.4. He went down to 10.5 overnight, which then means that he goes down a 0.1 for when you sell him, which is exactly what happened to me with the money I had invested in him. But I knew that was going to happen last night. I could see that he was being sold en masse, but I didn't want to sell him because A, I wanted a little bit more information. B, Jules, if he isn't out for as long, we're going to want him back all of a sudden, and it's going to cost me to bring him back. And see, I just don't know who to bring in for him. And it scares me not to have Arsenal cover in attack going into that Ipswich game. What do you think we should do, and who should we be bringing in if we are looking to get rid?
It's difficult because I think there's two ways of looking at it. You either go, okay, I've got to sell Saka, but I'm going to stay invested in Arsenal because it's Ipswich up next. So I'm going to go for one of the other Arsenal midfielders, whether that be an Ødegaard or a Martinelli or Trossard, if you like. Or you could take a bit of a differential punt on Declan Rice, if you like, because he's a set piece threat and they're going to be even more important without Saka on the other side. So you have that option. Or you go, okay, I'm going to look outside Arsenal for the next few weeks. I'm going to pick on somebody that's got a really nice block of fixtures. So you could, over the next 3 weeks, if you're feeling particularly brave, go, okay, well, I'll go for Foden then, or somebody along that line, because the Man City fixtures are great for the next 3 weeks. And if you're only planning to have for a limited period of time because you know ultimately you want to go back to Saka, maybe that's an option that's worth looking at. Bruno, Ahmad, you could go with one of those two. There's the Spurs boys that I talked about at the beginning. Bowen I really like for this week because it's Southampton, but then there's a couple of really dodgy fixtures against Man City and Liverpool to come after that. I am going to sell Saka because...
When? Why didn't you do it last night?
That is because I was still raging about Spurs last night. I'm going to sell Saka. I didn't do it last night because I don't know who for yet. And that's tough, that's why.
You don't want to rush into such a big decision like that, do you?
Exactly. Because for me, at 10.5 now, that's too much money to hold indefinitely on a bench when I don't really know what's happening with him. So I'm going to sell him and I'm going to use the money to upgrade my forward line. And I get what Jules is saying about leave the money in the bank. But until we have more information about Saka and how bad the injury is or not, and hopefully it's or not, and he can come back into my team quicker. But if he's going to be out for a month, four games, because they come so thick and fast. But over four games, you can make 10.5 million massively work for you.
But Sam, are you not worried? The thing that worries me is that if you then spread that money into your forward line, for example, it's going to be really hard to get him back if all of a sudden this injury isn't as bad as first feared.
Yeah, but I think there's always somebody that you can sell. Like in my team, I've got Bruno there. So worst case scenario, my thought process was, well, if I sell Saka and say I use the money from Saka to go down to a mid-priced-ish midfielder and then use that money to upgrade João Pedro or Evan Nilsson, whichever one I decided to upgrade to an Isak or a Jackson or somebody in that ballpark. It's not that hard to get from Bruno Fernandes up to Saka. It would be difficult to get from my new 6-ish million midfielder, but it's not that hard to get from Bruno Fernandes. Just come down somewhere else and that give me the budget to go up because I'm not going to spend all of that money upgrading my forward line, if that makes sense. So I don't think it's that hard to get from Bruno back up to Saka. It's just... Okay. You do have to have a plan. I think you can't just do it blindly.
Yeah, and keep some free transfers. You don't want to take a minus four either. So.
No. If you were, Jules, if you were wanting to stay with Arsenal, say you've decided you really need some playing Arsenal attacker and Bukayo Saka's not, and you're going to do what Sam said, Bukayo Saka, you don't think he's going to feature, so you're going to sell him and you're going to reinvest elsewhere. Would you stay in the Arsenal midfield? Are there other options that you think give you points? Or Gabriel Jesus's price went up on Sunday night. Would you be tempted to look at him? Does it look like he's back? Obviously, we saw his returns at the weekend. Is he back to his best?
Yeah, I think he's great when you score 5 goals in 2 games.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good for you. It's great momentum. It's great boost of confidence. It's good for your team. It gives another option to Mikel Arteta, who can, for example, play Kai Havertz a bit deeper if he wants to, like we saw against Palace, which you give away a little bit of control because you would have more control with Rice in midfield instead of Havertz, for example. But you gain much more when you have the ball going forward. Yeah. And then we saw Havertz scoring as well as Gabriel Jesus in that game. So that was very interesting. A bit like the Szoboszlai-Diaz combo. We had the Havertz-Gabriel Jesus combo as well on Saturday for Arsenal. That worked really, really well in possession, not so much out of possession. So that's interesting. The thing is, Odegaard has blanked for the last four game weeks, which is still Martin Odegaard, and he'll still be very important. And he will take the corners and set piece on the Saka side and Rice on the other side because they need an in-swinger. So he will be him. So that could be interesting. But he still has blanked for 4 game weeks in a row now. Martinelli is a bit hit and miss too, and yet he scored and... did well against Palace, and I guess he could also be a replacement for Saka as a right winger, like we saw in the Palace game. Trossard is a bit hit and miss as well, so it's a little bit difficult. You could go and double up at the back with Raya and one of the defenders, for example, or two defenders, Timber, Gabriel Saliba, whatever. But if you want an Arsenal attacker to cover for Saka, if you sell him, then I guess maybe Odegaard is your best option, but I'm not convinced by either Odegaard, Martinelli, Trossard, Havertz or Gabriel Jesus either for now.
Okay, great. Not very promising, is it? No, it's all right. We want honesty on this podcast. Okay, so it's quite interesting as well. We've got two kind of sides. I haven't decided what I'm doing yet, but we've obviously got one Saka holder and one Saka seller. So it'll be interesting to see what everyone else does and if his price continues to fall. Keep an eye out. I don't know if Mikel Arteta is going to have a press conference. Jules, I don't suppose you know.
Yeah, today, I think.
Is it today? Okay, so Monday. Yeah. So definitely worth listening to what Mikel Arteta says, though, of course. We've been here before with Mikel Arteta and his Saka comments, haven't we? Though it did sound like he was a bit more kind of brutally honest after that game on Saturday. So yeah, Bukayo Saka, keep an eye on his fitness. As always, we've run over on the podcast. We were hoping to have a big overview look at the festive week. But let's be honest, we can barely keep the FPL pod into the FPL pod, let alone when we try and make the FPL pod off the bench as well. But we do, I feel like it would be remiss of us, Sam, not to just quickly mention Manchester City.
Yeah.
Because we talked about, well, we glossed over their defeats to Aston Villa at the weekend. And we use the fixture ticker a lot, particularly at this time of year, I find, because it's really relevant because it kind of, the fixtures are so close together, it kind of tells us what not only a team's long run is, but like the next 2 weeks. City are actually top of the fixture ticker. At the moment, I can't even consider investing in them because the form just isn't there. Can you, or do we just have to at the moment go until we see any glimmers of light from Pep's side? We kind of have to ignore the fixture ticker and the fact they're top.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird though, isn't it? Because the next three fixtures, Everton, Leicester and West Ham, in any other FPL season, you just go invest, but not just invest. It would be like Haaland plus two more. And you just treble up and you try and absolutely get as many points as you can from the next few weeks. But Everton have become peak defence again over the last couple of weeks. So would it surprise you for Sean Dyche to park a bus? Particularly as Man City aren't scoring a lot of goals. Now, the one thing I will say is that that Foden goal was a bit more of the Foden that I'm used to watching at the weekend, but still not a great performance from Manchester City. So it's difficult. I'm not going for Haaland because the budget thing is too much. I can't work out how I'd get.
And there's no form there.
There's no form. I did have a moment on Saturday where I thought, when Saka got injured, where I thought maybe I punt on a Man City midfielder because it's literally just going to be a temporary thing. But I've been there once already this season with Foden and it didn't end well. So I'm kind of looking at it thinking I'm not really sure where I'd go. So for me, I'm just not going to have any Man City, which feels mad when you look at the fixtures. But I just don't know how I would invest. And that particularly worries me for game week 19 in the Leicester fixture with the way that Leicester have been conceding goals. But right now, it's tough to know who the best Man City asset to go to is to cover out this period.
Okay, just to mark your card in case you haven't checked the fixture ticker recently and you don't want to invest in Manchester City, just behind them it's Chelsea, Southampton, Spurs and Liverpool behind them on the ticker. So yeah, maybe a couple of teams there, Spurs as well if you fancy it and if you're as optimistic as Sam to maybe invest in.
I think I'm optimistic. But
the suspension tightrope, a quick check in there just to let you know that Nico Williams, Morsi, Paqueta, Dominguez and Young all picked up their fifth yellow cards of the season. They're now suspended in game week 18. Maxwell Cornet ineligible to face his parent club on Boxing Day 2. Okay, differential of the week. Sam won last week with Kudus 9 points. Jules' Sharder got 2 points.
One of the worst picks ever. He was dreadful in that game.
I'm glad
you said
that. I
watched it just for him. Terrible.
Okay, well, it does mean that you have to go second on differential pick as well. So, Sam, over to you.
I actually had two and I can't decide which one I prefer.
Do you want to send Jules to go first?
So let's let Jules go first. Yeah, yeah. And then if he picks one of them.
I've got a great one. Great one this week. Absolutely.
Well, it can't be any worse than last week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. My pick this week for differential is John Duran. Was there one of yours? No? Good. I mean, he scored again, returned in the last three now, 7 points, 5 points, 8 points. Only owned by 4.2% of the managers. It will cost 5.8 million. So it's really cheap compared to some of the other forwards that you could look at. And he's just on fire. And I know before he was a super sub, so it was hard for us to invest in him because he's a super sub. So he would get 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 50. We never knew for sure. And now he seems to be the starter ahead of Ollie Watkins and delivering as well every time he starts now. So really, really impressed with him. They have Newcastle, which is not an easy game, and then Brighton and Leicester. So it's not one just for this game we're coming, but more for the next three easily. But yeah, I just think that he brings something very different. All that energy, that left foot is great. The physicality, him and Rodgers get on, I think, much better than Rodgers and Watkins ever did so far this season. And I think that is something that Unai Emery also noticed. So yeah, John Duran for me.
Okay, Sam, you're on a bit of a roll with these, aren't you?
It's not going too badly at the moment. And these two, I think both could. So I had Declan Rice and Jota this week. So I think I'm going to go for Diogo Jota. So 7.2 million. So a little bit more expensive, but still not ridiculous. And if you've got a Saka spot in your team, could fill it quite nicely. Mm-hmm. He's only owned by 3.2 million. And there is a risk here. It is risky picking him because he is very much being eased back in gently. He got 11 minutes against Fulham in game week 17. In that one, obviously, he scores the goal and gets two bonus points. That was nice. Gets 22 minutes against Spurs in game week 17. I'm expecting him to start a game over Christmas. It's just which one. I'm hoping it'd be this one because obviously it's against a Leicester side who have conceded 14 goals in their last five game weeks. So he could definitely return well in this one if he gets minutes. Even if he doesn't start and just comes on for sort of 35, 40 minutes in this one, I still think he could do well. Over the course of the season, 17 attempts on goal, created six chances, and he's been out for a while. So yeah, I don't know if I've picked the right one, but we'll go with Jota anyway because I like that fixture more.
Okay, nice couple of differentials there. Transfers and captains. There's not a chance that George has thought about this considering there's Christmas Eve. Right. He's probably not done his Christmas shopping yet. It's Christmas Day
when and then
it's
Boxing
Day. Yeah. Exactly. Go on, transfers and captains.
No, I'll try to get to Isak and I'll have Salah as captain. I don't think you can take the armband off him.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. That was more decisive than I expected. Sam?
I'm going to sell Saka. Don't know who for
yet. Is
that
definite, yeah?
Yeah. Unless Arteta comes out and says, no, it's fine. He's going to play. I'm going to sell Saka.
For? This is the harder bit of the question.
This is the harder bit. And this is why I didn't do it last night, because I don't know. Like, part of me wants to go Jota or Diaz and target that fixture at Liverpool, but it's working out which one is the right one. And it's a bit risky. I did ponder on doubling up with Kulusevski and Solanke, but that also felt like too much given it's Forest and Forest are actually really good defensively. Yeah. So I don't think I want to go there. I like Bowen for this week, but I don't like him for the two that follow. So basically this is why I didn't make the transfer last night. I've got to make a decision and go. I might just go really cheap, might come right down in price point and free up a load of money.
Okay, well, enjoy that. That's good. You said that you put on the last podcast that over Christmas you actually focus on your kids and you make your transfer and you don't focus on it on Christmas Day. But I get the feeling that Sam might be eating her turkey making a FPL transfer under the table this year, given the amount of options she seems to have there. Yeah, I haven't got a clue what I'm going to do yet either, because I'm waiting on news for Cunha. So I could have really done without that Bukayo Saka injury. Plus, of course, we mentioned Mikalenko. I've got some defenders with some not such nice fixtures as well. So I haven't made any points hits recently, but potentially there could be one on the cards. So
Christmas Day points hit.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Santa kind of maybe delivers me a lot of FPL points, so the points hit doesn't feel quite so bad. A reminder then, guys, your deadline is 11 a.m, 90 minutes ahead of the 12:30 kickoff between Manchester City and Everton on Boxing Day. We're going to be back on Saturday. That is the 28th of December, as we'll be looking back on game week 19. The deadlines do come thick and fast, so do what I always say, put your alarms on. I know your family might not appreciate it, but your FPL team certainly will. The Fantasy Show is going to be back with Ian today on Monday, and he'll also be back with you on Friday as well. So plenty of FPL content for you there. I'll then be back on the Fantasy Show in the new year, because I unfortunately can't make it this week. But we'll be back, as I said, on Saturday. Have a wonderful Christmas if you are celebrating. As I said, if not, we hope you get lots of FPL points regardless. Thanks for listening to us, and we'll see you on Saturday, guys. Bye-bye.